way up north.
North to Alaska.
Way up north.
North to Alaska.
North to Alaska. Go north for us is on.
All right, Bill Barty, it sounds like we're going north.
Yeah, I know it, Don. That's one of the things you like to wager all your money on is the dog races of the Iditarod.
That's a little different than greyhound racing, isn't it?
That's right.
A whole lot different.
Mooshing those dogs. That's
mooshing?
Mooshing.
There we go.
Mushing.
Mooshy the moose.
Mooshing.
All right. Well, in this day of extreme sports, there's some people that have to take it over the top, Bill Barty.
That's right. And dog sledders are one of them. But we can one-up a dog sledder, I think.
I think you're right.
We're going to invite our friend on, Peter Ripmaster. He is a friend of the Carolina Outdoors. He is also a Storytellers alum of Jesse Brown's Storytellers Night. Don, I'm pleased to announce as Peter comes onto the line that we've got our lineup set for February 1st. So all of the Carolina Outdoor listeners, put it on your calendar. Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's is going to be February 1st. It's a Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. All are invited. Peter, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Man, it's great to have you. We need to set the tone. Don mentioned extreme sports, and we know about the dog sled races of the Iditarod, but there is something called the Iditarod Invitational, and it is a race for humans without dogs who can either ski, bike,
right,
or run either 100, 350, or 1,000 miles of the Iditarod Trail. Peter Ripmaster, our guest, is a person who runs this thing. Peter, tell us about the Invitational.
Yeah, it's a race that goes a week before the sled dogs annually. It goes, so we'll take off Kinnick Lake, which is just outside of Anchorage, and we will the folks that haul sleds are running, you know, and so I'll haul about a 45-pound sled behind me and just get going into the woods. And a week into this, we usually get passed by all the dog teams on the trail. So I know those guys well. I used to be a dog musher when I was living up in Alaska before I even got into running. So I have a big history with the race, but I've found my niche, which is by myself.
Well, you're an awesome storyteller, and this is going to be the fourth time, I think, that you've taken on the Invitational. But let me remind you some of your stories from the past. Your first one, and I remember this well, your first one, you got off course maybe 6 to 7 miles.
25.
Oh, or
oh, but who's counting?
You got off course.
You know, what's 20 miles?
You got off course 20 plus miles. Your sled did not weigh 45 pounds. Your sled weighed, I think, 91 pounds. Oh, let me remind you of this. Peter, you almost died last year because of well into the race, due to warm weather, the ice bridge collapsed and splashed you into freezing water with a 91-pound sled tethered to you. Peter, what is the drive to do this Iditarod Invitational?
I just it's a perfect picture of how stubborn I am. I just my whole life I've prided myself on, you know, if I start something, I want to finish it if it's within my means. And you know, I have, you know, the backstory getting into running, you know, running all these 50 marathons in 50 states and then starting to run ultra marathons, 50-mile races, 100-mile races, 200-mile races. And I kind of just started thinking, you know, anything that I go and do, I'm going to succeed. I have a good, determined mind. And you know, this Iditarod race has hit back a few times now with weather and with situations, and I have finally found something that is just every ounce of energy and muscle and brains I have inside me, I'm going to need to use to finish this thing. And it's just I couldn't think of my life without these types of adventures. And so it's to me, it's just a continuation of a life that has been all about these types of things. And so it's not crazy to me. It's something that I think I can finish this year. So this is my fifth year going up. This will be my fifth year attempting this race, and I'm hoping to get 1,000 miles to Nome this year on foot.
Hey, you are a husband and a father of two young daughters. What does your family say? Do they know that this is something that you this is a piece of meat that you have to chew on, or are they supportive, or do they try to talk you out of it?
No, they absolutely are supportive. My girls are young, you know, so I've been doing this for 5 years, and my girls are six and nine now, and so, you know, for a while they didn't really at all understand what I was doing and why I was leaving and not coming back for a few weeks and coming back beat up and limping and bruised and beaten and all this. And now they have a pretty darn good understanding of what I get myself into and why. And the cool thing for them is they get to see it behind the scenes. And so, you know, it's not just the trip. It's gearing up for it. It's training for it. I have a whole room in my house that's just Iditarod gear where I tinker and where I try to lighten my load a little bit. So they see the whole picture and they see how determined I am to finish it. So they support me 100%. And Kristen, my wife, is amazing. And I think without her, I don't know that I'd be going back the last few years. She's been really very helpful and helping me understand that this is something that I have to do. And so it's been a team effort for the Ripmasters here.
Well, tell us about the gear list. What is in that sled?
Yeah, I have, like I said, somewhere between 40 and 45 pounds in a sled. And so we're talking about a sleeping bag, a sleeping mat, a bunch of food, fuel, batteries, maps, emergency gear, stuff to take care of blisters, and a bunch of extra clothes, satellite phone, navigation. What else?
You got a whole sled full of that stuff, and I left out your accomplishments as a runner. Because you are quite accomplished. You mentioned that the numerous marathons, 50-mile races, 100-mile races. Peter Ripmaster, our guest, has already had a successful run of the Iditarod Invitational on his own feet. Peter, you've completed the 100-mile portion. You've completed the 350-mile portion. You have completed the 350-mile-plus portion. Is the 1,000 miles what garners this as a success in the Peter Ripmaster book?
It truly is. And, you know, I'm pretty stubborn guy, and I'm pretty serious about this sport that I do. But, you know, it's very difficult and very difficult for me to call myself an Iditarod athlete if I've only made it 350 miles on the trail. I mean, the Iditarod is, you know, as a lot of people know, it was a sled dog race that commemorates a sled dog, you know, that team that took a serum from pretty much Anchorage to Nome. And so it didn't stop in McGrath, which is where, you know, 350-mile race stops on our race. That's a checkpoint of the Iditarod. And so for me to run the 350 and get 500 miles and all that, that's all well and good. And trust me, I'm thrilled with the accomplishments I've had on that trail, and I've learned a lot about myself. But it's very hard for me to call myself an Iditarod athlete if I've not got to Nome, period.
I've got a question, and Don mentioned the sled and what you carry or what you're dragging behind you. And we oftentimes talk to Appalachian Trail thru-hikers who are out in the wilderness, but it's also very social. When you're out there running these miles and the sled dogs come by you, is it social with the teams, with the people who have dogs, or maybe people who are riding the bikes, or maybe the people who are skiing? Do you get to interact, or is the course of 1,000 miles just too great for you to have any interaction with people?
There are some absolutely awesome interactions. And I told you guys that I used to run dogs. I used to run dogs for the Seavies, who are the Iditarod, you know, legendary family up there who's won the last number of Iditarods. And I know them well. I consider them friends of mine. So I get to see them on the trail, and I get to say hello, and sometimes mushers will stop. I have an awesome quick story for you guys about that. That's a great question, by the way. It brings back some fun memories. There was this Jamaican musher years ago Newton Marshall was his name, if I remember correctly. Awesome, big personality, and he was this big black Jamaican guy that came up and ran the Iditarod, and he had tons of fans. And one time, I was just getting into McGrath, which was the 350-mile finish, and Newton was coming up from behind, and I saw all the sled dogs coming. And so I had to, you know, kind of get over on the trail to let the sled dogs by. And he started slowing his dog team down. And he turned to me and he's like, "Man, you look like..."
Got it.
"You don't look good. You don't look good, man." And I was like, "I don't feel good, man." And he was like, "Well, I got an extra seat on my sled." A lot of mushers have sleds that they can pull down and seats that they can pull down from the sleds. And he offered me a seat on his sled to go the last number of miles and have him pull me in with his dog team. And as much as I wanted to do that, I knew very well that if I take any assistance at all, then I'm done. I'm not an official finisher, and I'm probably never invited back. And so, you know, as much as I wanted to take that ride with the dog, and as bad as I felt, you know, I just let them go and watched them disappear and just put my head down and got to McGrath. So, yeah, there's some really fun interactions out there.
Well, sure. We got to keep up with you for the 2018 push on the Iditarod Invitational. His name is Peter Ripmaster. He is a big personality in his own right. And as you can tell, he's not running it for you or for me. He's running it for Peter Ripmaster and that sense of accomplishment. Peter, we look forward to talking to you more about the 2018 push on the Iditarod Invitational. Thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, and last thing, go to the Storytellers Night. That was an absolute blast. If you guys can make the Storytellers Night, do yourself a favor and go check that out. So thanks for having me back, boys. We'll catch up when I get home.
You got it. We'll see you then.